righty. Let's turn in your Bibles into Deuteronomy chapter 12. And we may go into some other verses in another chapter, but right now we'll stick with what verses 8 and 9 says in Deuteronomy chapter 12. And this is the conditions of the blessings that's in the land that the Lord had would take and use what individuals were doing within the land, and just even the crops that they grew, they take that and they would share it with other individuals where not just they would be blessed, but other people also would be blessed. You know, things like that, going back and thinking about it, right before they come and, done their work on the rampart there, David Wise and Paul about come and they looked at it to see, you know, how they could do it and everything, and about how much material it would take. And he gave me a list of material. And I went up to him and I asked him. I said, I understand that y'all don't want nothing to help you as far as the gas or anything. He says, no, sir, we don't want nothing. He says, we're doing this for the Lord himself. I said, well, I appreciate that. I says, but I'm also looking at it this way. I don't expect a one-way blessing from the Lord. I mean, I know we probably do half or even anything close to what y'all have done. But what we are going to do, we're going to do something. And I don't know how, where it's going to be or nothing like that. But I said, because I don't want to lose out on my blessing. And I said, we have to remember that the Lord will bless the one that gives, and he will bless the one that takes it and uses it for his honor and glory. And that's what they've done. And I caught the idea in the call of the preacher, because Brother Paul come back to me that day. He said, now you do know that this right here did not cost the church one red dime. Yeah, I'm not. And he said, but you know, we just felt like we could help you. We wanted to, and the only thing we was asking for was just if y'all could furnish the material, we can furnish the labor. And I said, that's fine for me. But I want to be blessed too. And for y'all to be blessed, I gotta bless y'all. Because I don't want to, and you know, got y'all to come down here and fight for Daniel and to do this. And he said, I understand what you're talking about. He said, but just don't really make all that known and everything. I said, well, I ain't not too fine. You know, I'm not gonna say that is to y'all in the hand. I'm just gonna get to it. The Lord's gonna bless you with it. But that's the same way here in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, and there on, where the people there was being blessed by what was being done within the land that they had. But here in verse 8, in chapter 12 of the book of Deuteronomy, ye shall not do after the things that we do here this day. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God gives you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you, rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. Then thou shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall ye bring all that I command you. Could you imagine God coming and asking you just, won't you bring everything that you have and you bring it to me? Then I would distribute it out. People don't understand how God even works. God, he works. And he works because of what? Because of us. He works because of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he works in allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work. You know, over in chapter 14 in the book of John, it says, my comforter, talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy says, the Holy Spirit is my comforter. He comforts them day by day. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit even comforts us at night when we are sound asleep. And when we go to bed and we lay our head down, he comforts us. And yes, he will speak to us in the night. And I love it when he speaks to me. I mean, I tell you, there's no other feeling that I know of that can do that. It's when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And you know it's the Holy Spirit. You can know it's the Holy Spirit. Because God says that his word is sound. And his word is sound. But he does it in a way to where the Father or the Holy Spirit can be able to take someone else and use another individual to get to another individual that somebody had been trapped and working on. You know, it's not a one-way street. Just because God saved my soul, He did not give me the right to go out there and hog all this sinner. He does not give me the right to go out there and just lay the word out and say, here it is. And you say, no, it takes a body of people. It takes a community, I will say, to get His word out of the way. Not only will we understand it, but the people that we tell about it will also understand it, because they can understand it because of what we say. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you can be around somebody, and if you're around somebody long enough, you're going to know what they believe. Yeah. You'll know who they trust. And we must do that. We must say it. We must tell people. But I want to look at this in a way to where I thought Nancy was going to really steal away from it, but the message today, but the title of the message that the Lord had given me is Till We Get Home. Till we get home. Till we get home to that homecoming, that banquet, that where we're going to be seated and the Lord is going to come around to each one of us and He's going to take our order. He's going to give them out. Why is He going to do that? To thank us. I mean, I don't have no right to even thank the Lord for anything. Because in my 30 years of serving the devil and everything, you could take one day of that and just take 4 hours of it. And what I've done in 4 hours, in 30 years, it would not even account to anything. But the Lord Jesus, when He came, and when He gave His life at Calvary, and the Holy Spirit came, and He took Martha and some of the others there to the tomb that day. Because they hadn't seen Him. They hadn't seen the Lord Jesus since the day before when they put Him on the cross. And when they buried Him. But they want to see Him. Yeah, they had an alabaster box and some ointment in it they was going to take. And they was going to sprinkle over Him or something like that. But the thing that got me the most of all is when the individuals came on the third day. And when they seen where the stone had been rolled away, they went back and they told the people that they was with them, and was telling them about what had happened. And says that we don't have no idea. We don't know. Maybe the Roman soldiers, maybe they told him. We don't know. We won't back. But the thing about it was, on top of the hill, right over the grave, stood the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he was revealing to them what had happened. And then the Lord, he went out here for 40 days. People seen him for 40 days. They wondered what had happened, that they had heard that he'd been crucified on the cross, that he'd been laid in a barred tomb, and that he had, that they had placed a stone in front of his grave to where no one else could move it. But what did he do? You think he blamed them? No, he didn't blame them. He didn't blame the Roman soldiers. He didn't blame Pilate. He didn't blame nobody for putting him in death or anything. You know why he didn't blame nobody? And there was one thing. It's number four, love of the thing. Love. The love that he had for the human life. Even though when they took him up on the hill, God, and said, well, Lord, you see, everything around you, you can see it for miles, miles, and miles. You can see it all. If you're just you say something to me, you can have all of this. He said, no. See, the devil, he didn't know. Well, see, the Lord already had. The Lord already owned it. And the Lord was willing to allow him to help people where they could help their own self. Do you know people like that today that really need our prayers? They need our help. Because they don't know which way to turn. They don't know who to ask for help. And yes, and a whole lot of people will come to you, and the reason they will back away instead of asking for help is because they embarrassed. They don't want to ask nobody for help because they embarrassed. The Lord Jesus told us something right now through them 3 days. You don't have to be embarrassed about nothing. Because I am not embarrassed. Because I went and hung on the cross for you. We must lean on Jesus. If we don't lean on Him, who can we lean on? Nobody. There's nobody else that we can lean on that will give us safety, that will give us food to eat, that will turn around and give us some cool, fresh water to drink. He loves me that much. And He loves you too that much. I want to ask you something. You don't have to answer it. There's seven of us here today. Did you know that if we was the only ones, after the floods had came, after everything had happened, thou, when Israel turned their back on God, and if we was the only ones, God took their life, and the only life that was living would be these seven people here at Faith Baptist Church. Do you think He would have went through everything He went to for just this few seven? He would have went if I would have been the only one living. He'd have went through the same turmoil, the same identical thing. He would have went through it. Why? Because I was lost, I was hell bound, and I hadn't made it to hell, I hadn't made it to heaven, so He wanted to save my soul. And I sure am glad He released the Holy Spirit upon me, that the Holy Spirit had a still, small voice, the way I could get, where He could get in touch with me, because I would be wondering. Not familiar with them words. Who's speaking to me? And the Holy Spirit says, "Adonai, this I, the third part in Trinity, is speaking to you. And your Savior, Jesus Christ, He's praying for you right now. He's praying that you would accept Him. And yet, we do have Jesus praying for us every day. And that's scripture. I'm saying something, I'm just saying. But that scripture where Jesus is praying for us to do His will. Not my will, not your will, but His will. Because we cannot even imagine what we could even think about even trying to do. And do because of Him. Because we as an individual, if we would go to the Lord by ourselves, alone. We would be miserable. We wouldn't know what to say. We wouldn't even understand anything the Lord said to us. So you need somebody to help you. Like in the, well, in the Jehovah's Witnesses Bible that they use, anytime that the Holy Spirit is used, their Bible rephrases that and it speaks about the helper. Now, I understand what they're saying, but can you just depend on the helper? I can't depend on just the helper. I have to depend on the third party of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the one that speaks to my heart. It tells me when I do something wrong. It tells me when I do something right. And it'll say, Donnie, you know, the Lord's not going to be happy with you and what you just done and what you just said. The Lord's not going to be happy with you. You've got to go to Him. And you've got to apologize to Him and you've got to ask Him for forgiveness. He said, you can ask me for forgiveness all day long, but you didn't ask the right one. Says, I'm the only one that can convict your soul. And Jesus Christ is the only one that could go to Calvary and die as a just man and be able to stand before the world because of you, the sinner. And then God the Father has made it all possible. God the Father, He created the universe that we live in. He created each and everything that we see. All the trees He touched, all the fruit trees He touched, and He gave them the right fragrance for that fruit. The rosebuds I hear, He gives them the right fragrance. So when we go and we can ride by the rose bushes and we can smell that sweet, sweet dew that is from the rose bush. I mean, how much more do we need to do for the Lord until we get home? And I'm talking about until we get home, until He takes us out from under the sin of this world, and we are being loaded on that whatever we're going to travel in from everywhere we're at to the place there in heaven. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be the happiest bunch you'll ever see in your life. But the thing about it is, you can go you can go in some churches and you can be that, and you can be preaching or saying something about the Lord, and the people just sit there, dumbfounded. An individual called me here about 2 weeks ago, and he just called me and told me, he said, "I just want to call and let you know that I'm thinking about coming out there any morning or maybe tomorrow night." I said, "Well, we're not having services on Sunday night and Wednesday night right now." I said, "But, you know, you're more than welcome to come Sunday morning." I said, "But we're sorry, 11 o'clock. And I said to Brother Bill about it. And I gave Brother Bill the individual's name that called me. And it was the individual, he could come in, he could sit down and not speak to nobody. But as soon as somebody in the church, during a song that's being sung, or whatever, you can start to hear him sniffle. And he will start at, when he first comes in, and he will be the same way an hour or 2 hours later. Why? Because he told me. He said, "Because I knew where I was at. And I was drifting along and where I was at, and I wasn't going nowhere. I wasn't going nowhere for God, and I wasn't even going nowhere for the devil. But I'll tell you what. But when the Holy Spirit introduced me to the Savior, and when the Savior came to me, and he says, 'Gene, all you gotta do is believe. That's it. Just believe.' And Gene said, when he said that word, 'believe,' he said, 'It hit him like a truckload of stones or something.' Because it was so profound. It was so important that the Lord told him." He said, "Brother Gene, I call you brother now. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. You're going to heaven where I'm going to be at, and where we're going to be at together for eternity. Until we come back to this, until you come back to this world and to set up your kingdom here, and then appoint us to do certain things for you. The land, the trees, the shrubbery, they will all experience something new because they've never had anything like this. I mean, people come up, they'll come and they'll cut your grass, and they'll get a little too close to the tree you got out there, and they'll skin it and knock some of the bark off. Well, on Wednesday when they knocked some of that bark off. They done kind of took that tree into their own hands and do what they want to with it. Because, see, the bark on that tree is speaks about, and we can look at it this way, that we can consider that bark that is on that tree is the Holy Spirit wrapped around that tree to keep it safe. Keep it safe from somebody coming up and bruising that tree. But yet, we still allow things to happen. And I'm just wondering myself. And I got to thinking about that, this, the other day. Are we really, or, well, I'll go back and say this, because the Lord spoke to me last. And he said to me, Donnie, are you really concerned about people? If some gonna go to hell, and some gonna go to heaven, are you concerned enough about your neighbor across the road that now you don't even speak to? We don't even go across the road to speak to our neighbor. Neighbors anymore like we used to. But he says, would you go across the road and speak to your neighbor and invite them to church? You can come up with something that to get the conversation started and get it going on. And then the next time you go out to visit them, then they liable to come up and say, I had the church doing. Church doing fine. And we are. The church is doing great. Because see, we are not all. We don't represent just, we don't represent just Faith Hill. Look at all the others that's been saved. We're also representing them too. As we go out, as we share the gospel with somebody else, we share it because they share it. And then they share it because we share it. And we have to continue on sharing it. And I've been asked before, I said, well, they don't even go to black. I mean, you know, I know it's been 10, 12 different people that have been over that in the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months. I said, well, still need to go. Have they ever made a commitment? Nope. We need to go. We need to tell them about Jesus. And maybe if we go, and if we say something about Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will come back and say, you know, they've been here before, and they've talked to you. But you haven't done anything. You haven't said no. You hadn't said yes, you hadn't said maybe, or anything. But I'm going to tell you the last thing that you need to know. There will be a day that will come to you and anybody else that has rejected the Lord, that he will say, enough is enough. And I honestly believe, I mean, I don't think nobody out here wants to go to hell. Do you? I don't think so. If they knew what it was all, if they knew anything was in the Bible, if they just come and hear us, I mean, preach one time, or whatever, they would understand what's in the Word of God. This right here is our guide. It's our map. It's our life. Right here. It depends on the type of life that you want to live. And has a boat right here. Our Father, we want to thank you today, Lord, for just being with us. And Father, until we go to home, when we all go together, because we've heard the trumpet sound. And Father, then we went and we thank you for allowing us to have the spiritual hearing aids that we have. Father, I pray for that one today, this loss that I know not whoever it may be. Lord, if it's one of our family members, Lord, help us all to pray for them. We don't need to know anything. Only thing that we know is that they need our prayer. And they need our strength. And Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're going to do this week through your people. And Lord, we just ask that you would go with us this week. You will bless each one of us. And Father, if you see fit, I pray. If you see fit to bring us up into somebody's life to where we could be able to talk to, and then they could turn around and ask us questions. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. And Father, I thank you and I love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come. Amen.